Good morning. I'm glad that you're at First Wesleyan Church this morning. The title of the message is Focused Eyes. Thank you for focusing up this way. I'm assuming most of you will focus on me today and at this point in time. And as you've seen, I asked several of you last week to bring in binoculars or magnifying glass or a telescope. And one guy left and said, well, I can bring my telescope in. And I said, okay, bring it in. And he brought the telescope. I wasn't expecting quite this kind of a telescope, but it's here. And what a great visual was. Did anybody bring any binoculars or any magnifying glass in this service? You brought one, Jerry? What'd you bring? You brought a number of them? Well, come here, Jerry. Bring them up here. Seeing how... Well, yeah. His granddaughter went through Wendy's this week, and so his daughter-in-law, Amber, actually texted me and said, guess what we got at Wendy's in the kids' meal? A pair of binoculars. I'm going to bring them on Sunday. And so, I don't know. Yeah, come on up here, Jerry. This is great. I'm not sure what I did or what I said, but Michaela, his granddaughter, started crying. Did you hear this? She started crying and then left during service, last service. I was like, what's the deal here? I don't know what I did, but something. All right, so we have some binoculars here that man, what do you guys do? Spy on your neighbors or what? These are Pat's. Yeah. These are Pat's, not Jerry's. Okay, so he has a number of binoculars that he has.
A camera too.
This one's a camera. You take pictures of your neighbors.
It's evidence.
It's evidence. All right. Thank you very much for here. I'm going to keep these up here. Can I keep these?
Sure.
Is that right? This one's the camera one, right? There's no battery.
I have batteries.
You have batteries. What kind do they take? No. Thank you for bringing binoculars. I brought a pair of binoculars with me as well, kind of like your other ones that you have there. And I want you to think about this phrase. What does it mean to look to Jesus? I'm going to provide some opportunities for you to think on that this morning. And I even want you to think about it this week. I'll tell it to you now. I think maybe you should actually write a little phrase of, I want to look to Jesus maybe on your mirror in the morning. I want to look to Jesus maybe in your car. There are some messages that I preach that I think, I've really got this. And I can preach this message well because I really know what this means. But I'm going to pause and I'm going to tell you this. There are some things about this, looking to Jesus, that I think I understand, but I don't know that I totally understand. For instance, I think I'm trying to figure out what it means to look to Jesus, and I hope that you are as well, but I don't have all that understood. I can see things, but it's kind of like looking through a telescope. I understand this is like a 400 power times power, whatever, and when you look through this telescope, you can see Saturn's rings. So we understand that Saturn has rings, and we may even be able to see some planets. But then when you look through something like this, you're like, oh, man. Now, many of you have heard of the Hubble telescope, and I've never been. Anybody ever been with the Hubble telescope, and anybody ever been near that? I mean, that's gargantuan. But even then, you don't know of everything that's out in the universe, do you? You see specks of things. And so that's the same thing that I see about what I'm going to be talking to you about today. With our focused eyes, when we see Jesus, then we maybe see a whole bunch more. So whether you're a person sitting in the chair this morning, you're like, boy, I'm looking at Jesus and I'm not sure what I'm seeing exactly, to where you've been a seasoned saint and you've seen a lot of Jesus, I'm here to tell you there's so much more to Jesus than just what we glimpse. So I want you to look to Jesus today. Many of us have played hide and seek. And in playing hide and seek, we have individuals that go and they go hide. And then the seeker gets ready. And so they start counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. And then they say it with me, ready or not, here I come. And so then that person goes, and where do I find people? Is there somebody hidden behind the piano? Somebody hidden behind here? Well, then they find everybody. Now, some of you were a little bit naughty in this game as a child, because when you go hide, you're supposed to stay in that spot, right? Some of you determined that you would go from spot to spot to spot to spot to spot. No, no, I was really here all the time, and you were not. I want to do away with a myth maybe you have grown up with or you maybe have heard. Jesus is not like a hide-and-seek game. Jesus is not hiding from you. Sometimes, well, I just can't find Jesus. I'm not sure where to find him. I truly believe this. If you look for Jesus, you will find him. And this is why. Ever since about page one of the Bible, there was a little creation story that took place in the first part of the Bible, right? And God created the heavens and the earth. And on one of the days, he created this man by the name of Adam, and he created a woman by the name of Eve. And when they sinned, what happened? They were ashamed, and so they left. But what did God do? God was looking for them, was he not? He said, "Where were you?" This is Steve translation. "Where were you? I was looking for you." "Oh, you know, we just were." And they made him an excuse. Ever since that point in time of mankind, God has been looking for you. And so when you say, "Well, I really can't find Jesus," the scripture also says, "Well, he is really closer than you think." And so as we look to Jesus today, and Pastor Bradley talked about some of the words that are going to be here, I want you to know that Jesus can be found. Jesus can be found. Last week we talked about the great cloud of witnesses that are cheering you on, and keep it up. Keep up running the race and get rid of those weights that are involved in your life. And I want you today to look to Jesus. And I want you to think about this. What does it mean to look to Jesus? I'm going to be in Hebrews chapter 12. This is on the Bible that is in front of you on a rack underneath the chair in front of you. If you want to follow along on page 1008, it'll be on the screen behind me. Or maybe you brought your own text that you would like to read along from yours as well. I'm going to actually start at verse 1 because I think it goes right into verse 2. Here's what it says. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Now verse 2. "Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." The first thing you need to know, understand is this. We have to look to Jesus. It involves us. We taking a part is an action. And I aim to understand this every day. And maybe you're discovering this as well. Do you see Jesus every moment of a day through everything that you do? Or is it just regulated? Well, that Pastor Steve, he talks about Jesus a little bit. That's nice. He gives pretty good sermons. I really like him. And he talks about Jesus. That's nice. Let's talk about him in the foyer a little bit. But then it just stops. I believe you can look to Jesus all through the week, all through the day, every second of every day. I hope that Jesus is not a name that is used on other days in a manner of disrespect. What does this phrase mean, looking to Jesus? When I thought about this, I thought of a couple of things. When I look to someone, I look to them for answers. I look to them for advice. I am looking for someone for assistance. We look to someone or something for assurance. When I look to someone, I focus my eyes on them. This is one of those times when you never want to look up the pastor because he might call on me. But I'm not going to call on you, by the way. But well, I will in a little bit, but when I focus in on you, I'm focusing here. I turn my eyes. I'm looking. For instance, Donna's sitting right down here, and she won't be bothered by this. This is Donna down here. Now, you can't see Donna per se, and I'm not really focused on Donna, but I know that she's here because I'm using my peripheral vision, right? But if I really want to get a good look at Donna, I've got to look at Donna. And when I look at Donna, I see, oh. Now, imagine just a moment that you're blind, or you can't see, or you have your eyes closed right now. If I said I'm looking at Donna, most of you would assume that I'm talking about a lady, right? I've not met too many Donna guys, but maybe there is one somewhere around. You've been called Donna before, Don, I'm sure, right? Don's married to Donna, so Donna, just one of those. Whatever. But if I'm talking about Donna Norton, you're thinking, oh, it's probably a lady, but you don't know what her hair color is. It could be blonde, it could be gray, it could be black, it could be gone. Who knows? It's not. No, it's not Donna. It's still there. You don't know what color shirt she has on, but when I look at her, I focus in on her. So very important with Jesus. You have to look and focus on that person. And that person is the person of Jesus Christ. We look to win. We look forward to a vacation. We can't actually see the vacation, but we look forward to a vacation. We look alive. You ever said that phrase? Some of you are coaches in the room. Look alive. Come on, you gotta be, look alive. We have a faraway look. Any of you ever had one of those? Some of you do on Sunday mornings, by the way. I think there's some other place right now. I'm not sure where they're at. That's okay, because sometimes God directs you other places than what I'm saying, and that's fine with me. We look as good as gold. We look high and we look low. We use this phrase, look out. We look good on paper. You ever been a boss and hired somebody to look good on paper? They didn't look real good in real life. It did not turn out. I mean, not their physical looks, but how their characteristics were and how they did in whatever they did. Looking is more than just seeing with my eyes. Our eyes are a unique part of our bodies. God has made us with eyes that see out. This is how we look. We look out. You don't look in every day. None of you this morning, hey, I wonder how my kidneys are doing. Oh, yeah, I see my kidneys. Oh, look like they're functioning well. I wonder how my stomach. Oh, wow, that supper last night, that's not doing so well down there. Yeah. Oh, I wonder how my toes are doing. You're not doing that. You look out. That's what we do with our eyes. God has given us this awesome opportunity. Now, some of us in this room have these things called corrective lenses. I wear contact lenses, and so I'm able to see you because I have my contact lenses in. If I didn't, you'd be a blur. I wouldn't be able to see you very well. Maybe we need some corrective lenses today to know where to look. Maybe I should buy you some Jesus glasses. To look to Jesus and see everything that Jesus sees instead of what I just see in my little narrow world. I encourage you to actually think about that. What does it mean to look to Jesus for us to have a viewpoint of what Jesus has instead of what I have as Steve Selfridge? I look to Jesus. When we look at something, we actually have to look that way, not another way. And do we look to Jesus? It requires action. We can look or we can turn away. We can turn away from Jesus. And sometimes we turn away when we get ashamed. But let me tell you something. Here's what the Bible says in Psalm 34. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. Maybe you came in this morning feeling ashamed about something in your life. You're like, oh man, I really can't come to church because God, oh man, he knows. And so sometimes we do this, and if you ever have children and they do something wrong, I've shared this before, when you say, look at me in my eyes, they're like, oh, I can't look in my eyes because I know that I'm in trouble. And the Bible says that those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. And when you have Jesus in your life and you're looking to him, you don't have to walk around in shame. Now, we have to be careful. We have to be careful when we talk about looking to Jesus, because sometimes we think of maybe a photo that we have. So I got some photos this week. I actually was looking at them, and Pastor Bradley was getting those ready for the screen, and I had this one. Don't go to the next one yet. But I had this one, and I had Pastor Bradley look at this one. He's like, well, what is that one? And I thought, I might be showing my age here a little bit. So how many of you have seen this one? Oh, yeah. Okay. Some of you have not, which is fine. So here's what happens. This is Jesus. This is like an iconic photo. This was like in one of our churches when I was growing up, and it was like a life size, bigger than life size. And there he was, Jesus. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, Revelation 3:20. So maybe you think of this when you think of Jesus. There's another picture. Maybe you think of Jesus as the, sorry for some of these that are not very clear, but maybe you think of Jesus carrying a little sheep. He went out and got the lost sheep. Maybe you think of this one. Maybe you've seen this one in recent days. This is kind of a newer photo of what Jesus looked like. Here's another one. Maybe you think of Jesus being on the cross. Or maybe you think of this one. How many of you have this one in your home? Anybody have this in their home? It was an interesting one for me in first service. Several have this in their home. This is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now here, that's right. We can go to the next one, yeah. This is Jesus at the Last Supper. Now you know what the last thing was said at the Last Supper, right? If you want to get in the photo, get on this side of the table. Okay, that really wasn't said. That's just a joke. But they probably weren't sitting right like this, okay? They were probably sitting on both sides of the table, all right? But this is the Last Supper. Maybe you think of Jesus in this way with the 12 disciples. And I don't know if you've ever looked at this one, just what's happening in this picture, but it's interesting. We can't stay there for, keep going. Some of you have seen this one. Maybe you think of this one of being Jesus for you. What's another one? Maybe you, again, this is a blurry one, but maybe you think of Jesus calming the winds and the waves. Or maybe you have this in your mind. When you think of Jesus, you think of him being with the little children. Go back to that one, a couple of, with Jesus in the yellow. One right before that, Ethan. There. Here's the problem what we have when we look to Jesus. Some of you are thinking, boy, what I need to do is I need to go home, and where I have my personal devotions, I got to copy off a picture like that, and then I can look to Jesus. We can't do that because pictures can actually sometimes serve as an idol for us instead of us actually looking to the real Jesus. So don't go home and print off a picture and say, all right. Now I can look to Jesus. That's not what I'm saying exactly. See, looking to Jesus, we have to find him in the secret place. It can't be a photo. It can't be a feeling because Jesus is far more than that. It can't be just reading his word. It's looking and asking and praying and living with Jesus each step of the day. We look to Jesus with the eye of understanding or the eye of faith. We focus our eyes on so many things every day. Many of you have a computer screen that you focus your eyes on somewhere along the way, whether it be here or an iPad or a phone, some kind of gadget, your eyes are there. Many of you focused while driving today. Thank you for doing that, or you wouldn't have arrived here today. You focus on this, you focus on that. Each of us, our eyes focus. Are you focused on Jesus? Do you look to Jesus? Now again, we brought some things here this morning. Thank you, Jerry, for bringing these. These bring something closer to you. A man left from first service and said this, and each of you have done this. You've probably done it with a camera of days gone by, maybe. Some of you have never known what a regular camera is like, but you just use your phone, which is fine. But those of you who know what an older camera like, 35 millimeter, know that if you don't take the caps off, you never get any photo. Sometimes we do that with our Bibles, if you will. We never get into our Bibles so we can actually see what Jesus looks like. We just want to experience, and we have to take the lens cap off. It's amazing the difference you can see between just my naked eye and then look at there. There's Ruth Anderson. Hi, Ruth Anderson. Now, here's what happens when you get better into focus. Man, I can see a lot more of Ruth. Well, not a lot more. I just see her more clearer is what I see, right? For instance, if you were to look up here, you might see different things about my face with my binoculars than you would see from where you are. You might see that I have more gray hair than I do have black hair. Or you might see something clear. You might see a piece of lint on my suit coat that you can't see from where you're at. How we look is very important. This telescope here, 400 times, it can see a lot of things. Wow. When you look to Jesus, what do you see? Looking to Jesus means we have to look away from all other things and look away from ourselves. That's why you being here on Sunday morning is so important. You may think that Sunday morning attendance is just, oh, what's the big deal? What other part of your life, whether except for personal devotions, which I hope that you're doing, what other part of your life do you really just have an hour of focus on Jesus? Not much else. You have a lot of other stuff going on in your life. I understand that. But for an hour on Sunday mornings, when you come here, you focus and you come to focus on Jesus. And that's why it's important. Because all other stuff, and other stuff is really good, it dims in comparison to what Jesus is doing. We focus on Jesus. Our eyes are not the only thing that allow us to see. Obviously, we have a brain that's working and other things. And I wonder if sometimes we're short-sighted. Looking to Jesus actually helps us to focus so we can see so much more. Ephesians 6, maybe you want to read that this week, tells us that there's a lot more going on than can just meet our eye. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers in the heavenly realm. And then Paul tells us, put on the full armor of God so you can stand against and get ready for the battle. That's what Paul says. When we're able to do that, we're able to be ready for the task at its hand. I think it's Wind Cave. I can't remember which cave it is, but one of the caves that we've been to, they talked about how there was a little spot where they had to wiggle through in order to get through to the next area. And that little spot was about 6 feet long. And I think if I was to try to wiggle through it, I would have a tough time, just my physical frame. I think they said that I could probably do it, but literally it'd be laying flat and wiggling, somehow trying to get through. But they said that once you get through there, then it opens into this huge, awesome room. And they didn't know it for quite some time. And all of a sudden, somebody got through there and they're like, wow, look at this. I wonder if that's sometimes the way it is with looking to Jesus. We look to Jesus, and we wiggle through something. And then all of a sudden, Jesus says, "Pooh!" And we're like, it's amazing. But sometimes we don't take the time to have to wiggle through some of those things. We just say, let somebody else wiggle through. But Jesus calls to you and he calls to me and says, if you look to me, I'm going to show you so much more. Okay, I got to keep moving. Number two, he is the author of our faith. He is the perfecter of our faith. He is the author or the founder. This word is also champion, source, leader. This same Greek word is translated as captain. I like this word author. He's the author of our faith, the author who writes the story. It'd be fun if when the books that you read, there's an author behind it that comes up with all those characters and you read it like, wow. And I wonder, sometimes authors maybe have another character they were going to throw into the story, but well, that one didn't work for whatever reason. So I'm not going to throw that one in. And this author is the originator, the one who came up with the idea, the one who started it all. In our day of confusion, many looked other places and say, well, there's another author. There is no other author except for Jesus. He is the author of all of this, and he can give us the understandings. In recent days, there has risen some discussion, it has hit our newspaper, of teenage suicides in our community. Now, suicide, the taking of one's life, is terrible. It's not good. I've officiated a couple of funerals for those who have done this, and as I was writing this message, and even today as I talk about suicide, it's saddening for me. Suicide affects many. And many of you still remember a family individual or a friend who took their own life. And let me just say this. If you're inside these walls today, or we also record the messages, if you're thinking of that, don't do that. That affects so many people. Don't involve yourselves in that way. As I was thinking of this, though, I was thinking in this discussion of suicide, I think we miss it, just like people miss it when we don't read the Bible very well. Why do people commit this tragedy? It's because they are in a state of despair, which means, I believe, they've forgotten where to look. They've forgotten where to see. And because of that, they don't know the author, or maybe they don't even know how to approach the author, who is Jesus, and the wonderful love and the hope he bestows and provides. They somehow get in despair. Another challenge that maybe some of you are even involved in right now is depression. Some of you maybe have been depressed before, or maybe you're sitting there now. Depression can suck the life out of a person because there is a cloud that invades, pervades, and dominates their life. And a person just kind of walks around as if they're dead because of the cloud that's there. What is the source of depression? Now, I know there's some chemical imbalances. I get all that. But I also believe this. When it comes to depression or suicide or some other thing that's going on in your life, we get our eyes off of, or we don't even know to put our eyes on Jesus. Maybe there's something, and maybe you're depressed today and you're wondering, what can I do? I contend that when we look at Jesus, we see the joy that is there. We see the peace that is there. And there are things that we can be helped in. I understand that. But I understand that a lot of times we forget to look to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. He is there for you. He remembered the joy and he endured the cross for you. The paper wants to fix the problem of suicides. The paper thinks that schools and teachers should fix the problem of suicides. Now, we have some godly teachers and we have some godly administrators, but that's not their job. Not their job at all. Their job is to teach. It can't be fixed by a mandate, by a governmental program. It is fixed by Jesus. The despair that you may even be feeling this morning, I believe, is fixed, is taken care of when you look to Jesus. Some of you understand that. You've went through a time of difficulty and you've been trying to do this and this and this and this and this. And then somewhere along the way, you're like, Pastor Steve, what do you think I should do? And I say, well, have you looked to God? Oh yeah, should do that. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full of his wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. Let me tell you something else. Ezra, can I borrow you for a moment? You just stay right here. Just stay right here. I want to tell you something else. Stand up here for a moment. Even if I grab Ezra and I grab him in the face like this and I say, look at me, does he have to look at me? No. Look away from me. Don't look at me, okay? Don't look at me. Seriously, don't look at me. But even if I do this, he's such an obedient child. He is all the time at home, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But even if I grab him and I say, look at me, he doesn't have to, does he? Thank you, Ezra. In the same way with people that are around you, you can't force them to look to Jesus. Don, look to Jesus. You can't do that. You can encourage them, and they can do that. Sometimes you just want to say, you know, it sure would be easier if you just looked to Jesus. He'd be sure a help to you. But people have to do it on their own. Number three, he is the perfecter of our faith. He's the finisher of our faith. He's the goal of our faith. He's the completer of our faith. I like this. I like this perfecter. Many of us strive for perfection. When we aim for perfection in the classroom, we go to the finest place of education. If we want to be a good teacher, we don't go down to John's garage. Hey, come down to John's garage. I'm going to teach you some English. No, you don't do that. You go to a good place. When we want medical help, we don't go to the backyard hospital. Well, I don't have a lot of anesthesia, but I do have a piece of wood. Why don't you just chew on that while I work on your leg? You know, we don't do that. When we want to win the game, we don't go to a coach who's lackadaisical, like, well, if you want to run a little bit, feel free. Don't worry about practicing. You just show up at the game and we'll just hopefully do a good job. No, you want a coach that's out there, maybe not yelling and screaming at you, but you want a coach that's there teaching you things and instructing you and saying, come on, you can do it. We can bond together. When you look for a fine gun, you don't go out in the woods and say, boy, I hope I found one, a rusty old one. Man, that'll be really, work really good. I'll just get a little oil on it and it'll work great. If you want to play in the orchestra, you don't go find the violin that's up in grandma's closet that's filled with mothballs. Well, maybe you do. Some of us probably have done that. But no, you want a violin that's been made perfect and ready, and the tone is very good. And when you're in the orchestra strumming, you want it to strum so well. You see, we want to be perfect, and Jesus wants you to be perfect. And I don't think that when it says this here, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, I think it's each of us have to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But I think sometimes we center in on that, and we forget that it's us. He's the founder and perfecter of our faith, of Rapid City's faith, of the whole world's faith. It's not just about, well, I'm perfect in my faith. No, you're not. You're still growing, and God is making you into what you should be. It's something about being with others. And hear me in this. Number four, Christ won the victory for us. It says that there was joy set before him. So what did he do? He endured the cross. Let me remind you of the joy that is set before you. Some of us need to be reminded of this. Smile a little bit as a Christian. It's okay. You can be a happy Christian. It's all right. You can be a joyful Christian. It's okay. There's somebody around you that needs to have the joy of the Lord shown upon them. And you're like, boy, there is such a drag at my work. Let me tell you, Pastor Steve, they are just cussing and they are just mean and they are just cruel. Great. You're Jesus to them. Give that joy, because this is what Jesus did. He knew the joy that was before him. And so he got rid of the things and despised the shame. And he said, yes. The cross was the great stumbling block to the Jews. He endured the cross and he despised the shame. Matthew 16, 24 says this, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. In Galatians 2, 20, Paul says this, I have been crucified with Christ. Now it's not I who live, but Christ who lives at me. Hear me in this. When you look to Jesus, people are going to look at you weird. Just know that. You're at a gathering, and people are there, and it's time to eat. And they say, let's eat. And you say, stop for a moment. Could we give thanks to the Lord? Why are you saying that? That's kind of weird. Well, God provided this. They're going to look at you weird. You're in a gathering, and or you're at a meeting with your boss, and your boss says, would you be willing to do this? And you say this, could I have just a day or two to pray about that? When you look to Jesus and you follow after Jesus, you're going to look weird to people around you. But I have a feeling Jesus is going to say, that is great. Looking to Jesus takes time. Are you willing to do this? If so, he will be the author of your life. He will be the perfecter. He will bring you the victory. Focus your eyes on Jesus each moment of the day. When you awaken, grab the book so you can turn your eyes upon Jesus instead of something else, like a computer screen or something else. Turn your eyes onto Jesus early and all through the day. I encourage you to think about this week. How can I turn and look to Jesus in my school, in my work, in whatever I'm doing? How can I turn my eyes to Jesus? It's actually pretty perplexing when you think of it. How can I turn my eyes to Jesus when I'm driving down the road? How can I turn my eyes to Jesus when I'm looking at my computer screen or when I'm filling out some detailed information in my job? How do I turn my eyes to Jesus? I believe that you can. Set an alarm early and focus on Jesus. Don't focus on some preacher, teacher, friend, spouse, parent. You must look to Jesus, and he will teach you when you get alone. Look to Jesus as you scan the internet. Look to Jesus in your home. Look to Jesus as you're driving. Look to Jesus as you're playing in vacation, while you're doing sports, TV, whatever it might be. What is your focus? I want you to have focused eyes this week and look to Jesus and see what he's up to. Now, here's the difficulty for some of you. I didn't give you a 1, 2, 3 this morning of how to look to Jesus. I want you to ask him, what does that mean? How do I look to Jesus? And I believe he'll show you when you start asking, how do I look to Jesus? A couple of ways are being in God's word, being in time of prayer, and having a focus of having his eyes. this week, look to Jesus. Would you stand with me, please? I want to pray for you today. Lord Jesus, every one of us in this room, every one of us in this room is bombarded with images every day. We are bombarded with things. And I confess to you my life, and I confess to you of these individuals' lives that we miss it at times. We miss what you're doing. We don't look to you. We look other places. Would you please forgive us in those moments when we look other places and not look to you? I pray that you would be with somebody here this morning who knows that they need to be looking to you more. I pray that they would make a decision and a desire to do that. May they be ones. May they be ones that as they now look in a different way, you would show them some big, wonderful things that they're not even aware of. May they understand how you endured the cross and now you're seated at the right hand of the Father. Lord God, I pray for another person here this morning. There's been something in their life that they haven't been looking to you on. They've been looking to themselves or a spouse or a friend. Help them to get their eyes back on you. And help you to be right in their rearview mirror and right in their windshield every day. As they go home today, may they know that they need to look to you. Lord, there might be somebody here this morning who's been in despair and they've had their eyes in a different way. And so because of that, they've lost some hope. I pray over somebody right here today that they wouldn't be in despair, but they would look to you and they would follow after you. Lord, I pray also that there might be somebody that someone knows, someone is going through a tough time, that they would be able to say to that person, look to Jesus. We can't force them, but at least we can say it. So Lord, help us to find those opportunities as well. Gracious God, go before us. May you continue to be the perfecter of our faith. May you be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And may you guide us each step of the way. We love you, dear Jesus, and we pray this in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.